So again, Christ is risen. Hallelujah. Welcome to the most wonderful celebration of the year. Today we celebrate together the power of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. More than 2,000 years ago, God's plan of redemption altered the world forever. The power of sin and death was broken through the crucifixion and resurrection of Jesus Christ that day. Death was defeated and true life, God's true life, triumphed. Today's sermon is entitled, The Power to Change Your Life. So maybe you're thinking, I don't know if I have the power to change. I don't know if I have the power to change my attitude or my outlook on life. I don't know if I have the strength to continue on in this marriage or this job. I don't know if I have the ability to break this addiction. I don't know if I can truly forgive this person who has hurt me. I don't know if I have the power to love the people who hate me or the people that I hate. I don't know if I have the power to live the life Jesus is calling me to live. I don't know if I have the power to change my life. Well, the good news today is that you don't have to have the power to change and transform your life. That's why we need a Savior. And that's the good news of this day. You may be wondering, how is that good news? Well, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, came to earth in the flesh to live among us, to show us how to live, and then he took our sins upon himself and died on that cross. He defeated the power that sin and death had over us by raising from the grave 3 days later. And as a result of the resurrection, every person who has received Christ as their personal Lord and Savior now has the power of God within them, not only to change their life, but to live a victorious, abundant life. That brings us to our big idea this morning. And as I mess up my pages, that God desires his people to live a victorious and abundant life. In the New Testament, the Apostle Paul, a man who actually persecuted Christians and then experienced a radical life change through an encounter with Jesus, knew that his life depended on Jesus and knew that it depended on the power of the resurrection. Philippians 3:10 says this, I want to know Christ, yes, to know the power of the resurrection. Now, that was the goal of Paul's life, to know Jesus and to know the power of his resurrection in his everyday life. Paul's ability to get through every day was dependent on Jesus and his power living through him. And Paul wanted the same thing so badly for his friends. Ephesians 1:19 and 20 says this, I also pray that you will understand the incredible greatness of God's power for us who believe in him. Now, this is the same mighty power that raised Christ from the dead and seated him in the place of honor at God's right hand in the heavenly realms. Think about this. The same power that raised Jesus from the dead and now gives him the ability and authority to rule over the universe is available to you and me. The Greek word for power is the word dunamis, which is where we get the word for dynamite. To have the power of the resurrection in your life is to have dynamite power. And the Apostle Paul said, I want to know it. Give me a piece of that. It's my goal in life to know Christ and to know the power of his resurrection. And he prayed that we would know it as well. The good news of this day is that Jesus Christ not only died for your sins and offers you forgiveness today, but that same power that raised him from the dead 2,000 years ago is available to change your life right now. So what is resurrection power? It's the power to cancel out your past, present, and future sins. So many people walk through life carrying around the weight and burden of their past failures, their past mistakes, and their past sins. They become overwhelmed by the regret over the past. And when I say cancel out the past, I'm not talking about denying it or saying it never happened. Cancel means to eliminate, to remove, or to delete. Have you ever gotten halfway through a project and thought, man, I wish I could start this over. This is not the way that I hope that I planned for it to turn out. And a lot of people feel that way about life. I just wish I could start over. I've already made so many mistakes. I've already made so many failures and problems and bad decisions. I just wish I could hit the delete button and start over. Some people can't seem to let go of their past. And as a result, they let their past control their present and dictate their future. They live in a constant state of regret. They continually second-guess themselves because they're tortured by painful memories. And God says, that's unnecessary. You do not have to walk around with a heavy load of guilt, old hurts, and painful memories. So you might be asking this morning, how can that even be? Again, Paul in Colossians 2:13-14 says, you were dead because of your sins, and because your sinful nature was not yet cut away. Then God made you alive with Christ, for he forgave all your sins. He canceled the record of the charges against us and took it away by nailing it to the cross. Let me say that again. Christ has done away with the record of the charges against you and the charges against me by nailing it to the cross. This verse says he forgave all our sins. What are sins? Sin is an archery term. It doesn't just mean to shoot and miss the target with our lives. It means to turn our backs and shoot in every direction but at the target. We completely ignore the true target of pleasing God with our lives, and we set our sights on seductive targets that don't save us or satisfy us. And they actually make us feel miserable and empty. Again, here's the good news. God offers complete forgiveness. He says that he cancels every record of the charges against us, and he forgives them all. The words that God uses in the Bible to describe how he forgives us are words like blot out, wipe out, washed away, and canceled. You know, that means that our sins are not only forgiven, but they're forgotten. Again, that doesn't mean that Jesus doesn't know the sins we've committed. It just means he didn't come to rub them in. He came to rub them out. He didn't come to condemn you. He came to change you by saving you from your sins. John 3:17 says this, for God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. Do y'all remember the toy? I'm going to have a hard time getting it out. Etch-a-Sketch? How many remember that toy? You drew something with the knobs, and when you messed up, what'd you do? You flipped it over, you shook it to wipe the slate clean, and you started over. The Bible says that God has the ability, because of the sacrifice of Jesus, his death and resurrection, to take all the messes and sins and regrets in your life and wipe them clean. And that happens at the moment that we trust in him alone to be our Savior. But you know what? It gets even better than that. In Jeremiah 31:34, it says this, for I will forgive their iniquity, and I will remember their sin no more. That has to be one of the most amazing verses in the whole Bible. God, who made the whole world and everything in it, chooses to forget your wrongs, your mistakes, your past failures, and your sins. And when you come to him, confess your sins, and ask him to forgive you, he cancels your past. For those of you who are here today and have received Christ at some point in your past, but are limping through a life in sin, the same thing applies. When you come back to him and confess your sins and ask him to forgive you, he receives you. He forgives you. He wipes the slate clean and cancels those sins off your record. How can God do this? What is the basis for this kind of forgiveness? Romans 8:1 says this, there is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. When Jesus Christ died on the cross, one of the last things he said from the cross was, it is finished. And in the Greek, those three words are actually one word. It literally means paid in full, canceled. God says what Jesus did on the cross, he paid for every sin you've ever committed. And he stamps paid in full across each one. That's why there is now no condemnation for you, because he canceled our past sins, failures, and mistakes. Resurrection power is also the power to give you a new identity. So what's an identity? An identity is something that defines you. You know, in our culture, we define ourselves by our race, our religion, our political party affiliation, our sexual orientation, and our gender. We find our identity in our occupation, our hobbies, or maybe where we went to school, or even in our looks, our clothes, or who we're dating or married to. Sometimes people have a hidden identity that shapes their lives and their decisions. So maybe they have an addiction, a weight issue, a health issue. Or maybe they're living with the label adopted, divorced, or poor. Or maybe they don't feel very smart, or they feel unwanted and unloved. How we identify ourselves is so much about what we do or what we've done, our successes and failures, or what others have done to us. You know, the resurrection brought with it the power to change all that. Because Jesus conquered sin and death, we don't have to be defined any longer by our sinful failures, our past mistakes, or even what others think about ourselves. Our identities can now be shaped by God's success in conquering our sinful failures and his ability to give us new life. When we come to God and put our faith in Jesus Christ alone as our personal Lord and Savior and receive his gift of salvation, God calls us a friend of God. He calls us blessed, loved, a new creation, saint, disciple, and a child of God. John 1:12 says this, "But to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become the children of God." We are children of God. Out of his grace, he has adopted us into his family, and he says, "You are my child. Call me Father." That's your new identity. We are his, and he is ours. So you may be thinking, how do I know that that's true? 2 Corinthians 1:22 says this, "And he has identified us as his own by placing the Holy Spirit in our hearts as the first installment that guarantees everything he has promised us." What this means is that you can let go of any image of yourself that's not from God. You can stop accepting what others have said about you, how others have labeled you, how you have labeled yourself, and how others have defined you. You can start believing what God says about you, that you are his child and he is your father. That's how he defines you. When you are a child of God, you are not defined by your feelings. You're not defined by the opinions of others or by your circumstances. You're not defined by your successes and failures. You're not defined by the car you drive, the money you make, or the home you own. You're defined by God and God alone, and he identifies you as his own. The thing is, if you don't know who you are, you're vulnerable to other people telling you who you are. But here's the truth. You are who God says you are, and no one else gets to have a say in that matter. Tim Keller says this, "The only person in the universe whose opinion counts looks at me and he finds me more valuable than all the jewels in creation." Because of the power of the resurrection, you are now identified with Christ, and you have the power of the Holy Spirit within you. He has given you a new identity. Next, resurrection power is the power to fill you with strength to face the challenges of every day. Here's one of the most powerful truths you'll ever hear about Jesus. We are not only saved by his death, but we're also saved by his life. That means that the risen Jesus lives inside of us by the Holy Spirit. His divinity inhabits your humanity. That means you can face each day in the strength of the risen Savior. Regardless of what happens to you, whatever difficulties you might face, whatever curveball life may throw at you, you have the power to stand in there and face it. Galatians 2:20 says this, "I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me." Think of the prospect of having the risen Jesus living his life out through your life. Again, the possibilities are endless. And you know, life is unpredictable. One minute you feel like you're sailing along and everything's going fine, and the next moment you're dealing with a crisis. We all know that life is full of stress, heartache, disappointment, setbacks, trials, and tragedies. How in the world can we face these twists and turns, these roadblocks, or even these life-altering dead ends? It's the power of the risen Christ in our lives, sustaining us through his Holy Spirit and carrying us with his grace and power. Romans 8:11 says this, "If the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, He who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you. That means the Holy Spirit of God, the one who was involved in creation, the one who came upon the disciples at Pentecost like a mighty rushing wind, the one who raised Jesus Christ from the dead, has been given to you for daily life. In Miracles of Courage, Monica Dickens tells the story of David, a 2-year-old with leukemia, who was taken by his mother, Deborah, to Massachusetts General Hospital in Boston to see a Dr. John Truman. Dr. Truman specialized in treating children with cancer and various blood diseases, and his prognosis was 50-50, which, of course, was devastating to them and his family. The countless clinic visits, the blood test, the intravenous drugs, the fear and the pain were almost too much to bear. And then the mother's ordeal can be almost as bad as the child's because she must stand by and she's unable to bear the pain herself. So when he was 3, David had a spinal tap, a painful procedure at any age. It was explained to him that because he was sick, Dr. Truman had to do something to make him better. "If it hurts, remember it's because he loves you," his mom said. The procedure was horrendous. It took 3 nurses to hold David still while he yelled and sobbed and struggled. And when it was almost over, the tiny boy, soaked in sweat and tears, looked up at the doctor and gasped, "Thank you, Dr. Truman, for my hurting." Just imagine if that was your child, going through cancer at age 2, with all the testing and all the treatments, etc. How could you endure? How could David or your child be able to thank the doctors, even though they were hurting him? You would have the power to go from suffering to victory, because Jesus Christ conquered the grave, and his sustaining grace power would be there to carry you and your family through whatever life throws at you. It would be there to carry you through every twist and turn in the future, in the present, and in the future. Here's a great promise. The Bible tells us that we are more than conquerors through him who loves us, and that nothing, not trouble or hardship or danger, will be able to separate you from the love of Jesus. Romans 8, 38 and 39 says this, "For I am sure that neither life nor death, nor angels nor rulers, nor things present nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus." How can that be? It's because we serve a resurrected Savior who still operates in resurrection power today. And he promises to fill you with that same power to give you strength to face the challenges of every day. So what does the resurrection mean to you today? For some people, it's just some event that happened way back when. For others, they've been to the tomb and nobody's home. He's not there. Christ is alive. Many of you are desperate to make a change in your life. And because he is alive, because he gives you the power to change, you can now do it. He will give you the power to get started. He'll give you the power to keep going. But again, here's the truth. You can't do it in your own strength. You don't have the power to do it on your own. You were made to depend on Jesus. And maybe there's some of you that feel you can't let go of your past failures and mistakes. And for you, Jesus Christ offers forgiveness. He promises to cancel your sins and wipe them off your record. He offers you a chance to start over. And maybe some of you are feeling like a failure, a loser, or a has-been. Maybe your identity is wrapped up in what you've done or in what has been done to you. God offers you the chance to have a new identity. He wants to bring you into his family and give you a new title: accepted, forgiven, a beloved child of God. Some of you may feel powerless over the challenges you're facing right now. What if you had the power of the Holy Spirit in your life, giving you peace, giving you strength, giving you the power to face those issues head on, the power to change your situation? The resurrection means that no situation is too hopeless. No problem is too big for Jesus. He's still in the resurrection business, and he has the power to change your life. So today, if you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, this could be the day of your salvation. If you're feeling prompted by God this morning, knowing that you need to make a change in your life. You've been trying to live this life without Jesus and it's not working. You can accept him this morning as your Lord and Savior. Three steps. Admit that you're a sinner. Believe that Jesus came to earth, died on the cross for your sins, was buried and raised again, and then confess Jesus as the Lord of your life. If you take this next step, Romans 10:9 says you will be saved. That brings us to our first next step on the back of your communication card this morning, which is to admit that I'm a sinner, believe that Jesus was crucified, buried, and rose again, and confess Jesus as Lord of my life. Now, if you're already a born-again Christ follower, maybe you still struggle with your identity. Maybe you still struggle with letting go of your past failures and mistakes. And today could be the day that you accept the fact that you are a child of God and start to live in the power of the Holy Spirit that dwells inside of you. That brings us to our other next step this morning, which is to accept my identity as a child of God and live in the power of the Holy Spirit. So as Gene and Roxy come to lead us in a final hymn, and the ushers prepare to collect the tithes and offerings, let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, in Jesus' name, we worship you today for your love for us that sent your one and only Son to earth to live as we do, than to die on a cross for our sins and be raised after 3 days. We worship you for giving us a new identity as your children. Lord, help us to live in the gladness and grace of Easter Sunday every day. Give us hearts of thankfulness for your sacrifice. Let us have eyes that look upon your grace and rejoice in our salvation. Help us to walk in that mighty grace and tell your good news to the world, all for your honor, praise, and glory. Amen.